Take your Bibles, please, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Angels and Demons, the final CD. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want every single person listening to this CD to be delivered of every prison in their mind that is encasing them or keeping them stagnant. The adversary goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's an equal opportunity destroyer. But I want you delivered for more than just to have the deliverance in your own life. Yes, I love you. Yes, I want you to have peace. Peace of mind. I want you to have that joy and peace of believing. But more so, I want you to break those generational curses so they don't spread upon your children. I want you to break those soul ties so they don't continue to hamper you in life. I want you to be the one to change the generational curses to say the buck stops here. I'm breaking every generational curse that came upon my life so I don't put it upon my children and my children's children. It's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about how can we get this and give this out to someone else. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus Christ triumphed over every negative, over every fear, over every sickness, over every demon, over every lie, over every guilt trip, over everything that can encase us, especially from the inside out. Boy, those secret things that aren't so evident on the surface but have been racking and ruining our thought life for years. God wants you delivered from everyone, and here's the foundation. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. When I set my face like flint, when I set my face on my awe of the Lord's ability to deliver, when I obey His voice, when I trust in His authority and character, when I support myself with Him, when I'm in that bubble of God, His love, His protection, His deliverance, He causes me to triumph. How? By my own reasonings? No, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. He causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest or evident the savor, the sweet smell of His knowledge by us every place we go. Do you realize the only advertisement God has on this earth is your life? And people are looking at you just as much as they would look at a commercial on TV or a billboard to see if this is something they want or don't want. I know people I look at and say, I don't want to go where they are. I don't want to believe what they believe. They're mean. They're judgmental. They're cruel. I don't want to know what they know. But there's some other people's walks on this earth that I have seen that they are humble, they are loving, they want to give what they have to others, they want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I look at those people and say, I want to know what they know. I do. For we are unto God a sweet savor in Christ. You know, just like that wonderful incense that they burned outside the Holy of Holies, it must have just smelled so magnificent, so awesome. That's how we smell to God when we're walking in fellowship. We're a sweet smell to God and to them that are being saved, to those who want to know the truth. But in them that perish, to the one we are the smell of death unto death, and to the other the smell of life unto more abundant life. And who's sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Or we speak of Christ, or we speak on behalf of Christ. This whole thing, this whole verses 15 and 16, goes back to a situation that happened in these days called the March of Triumph. And in the March of Triumph, whenever one army captured an enemy army, the street would be lined with the victorious people. And they would be walking, the victorious army would come down, marching down the street with incense, which would be the smell of sweet victory to everyone who was on the winning side, but to everyone who just lost the battle, it was the smell of defeat, of death. And the first person they marched in the march of triumph was the king of that nation. In this allegory, it would be Satan. And one of the things they always did when they marched the king out front is they marched him naked, they stripped his garments from him, and they marched him hobbled, having cut off both his thumbs and his big toes. In other words, he could never draw back a bow, he could never throw a spear, he could never wield a sword, and they cut off his big toes so that he could never run into battle. Satan is running on fumes. All Satan has to run on in our administration is lies of his past victories. Lies of your past defeats that God wants you cleansed of. He knows he's doomed. He knows it. But because he's pure evil, he's trying to rack and ruin and destroy as many lives as he can along the way. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 41, Jesus bluntly stated that hell was created for the devil and his angels. You ever want to know why hell is there? Here's the answer. Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say unto them, the wicked ones on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Like I said, those who don't accept Jesus Christ in this lifetime, that's where they're headed for. Do you want anybody to go there? I don't. I don't even want the most wicked human to go there. I want them all to be able to turn their heart to repentance. I want the vilest offender to find out about Jesus Christ and to be able to come to a knowledge of the Lord and be delivered in their life and to make it into the kingdom. And Paul taught us that believers, one day, you and I are going to be sitting next to the throne of God helping judge the angels, it says in 1 Corinthians 16. Folks, these demons have been defeated on every hand, past, present, and future. So when Satan tries to bring up your past and rub your nose in it, you bring up his past and you remind him that he has no future. And then decide that you're going to walk in the triumph that Jesus gave us by his sufferings and death and resurrection. So how do we walk in that triumph? How do we walk in it? By believing these things that I'm teaching you in this class. Believing, going to the Word and making this stuff your own. Putting on the mindset of Jesus Christ. Believing that you have not only the Spirit, but the power of Christ in you. That God has placed that power within you, and now it's up to you to use it. By studying the Word, spending copious amounts of time in the Word. Why? Because when Jesus was tempted in the Gospels, how did he handle every temptation of the devil? It is written. He confessed the Word with faith. He hearkened unto his Father's voice. He relied on the authority and character of God. He supported himself with the words of Elohim. It's the exact same with us today. I of myself can do nada, nothing, zip, zero. In my flesh, he's going to beat me up every time. In my fleshly reasonings, I'm defenseless. But in Christ, I'm greater than he that is in the world. 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6 says, not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything, any triumph spiritually is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is who? God. God is our support. God is our sufficiency. God is our triumph. God is our victory. Who has made us able ministers of what? of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. Speaking the word, heralding the word, setting the captives free. It's not just my job, honey. It's your job. And God has made you an able minister of the New Testament. By walking in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, listening to and obeying His voice, trusting the information I'm getting from my spirit over my five senses. This is a lifestyle of believing. This is a lifestyle. To be sober, to be vigilant every moment of the day. You know why? Because life is not a fairy tale. This stuff about demons and the power of darkness is not some fairy tale. Your kids, as they grow up, need to understand this, how to be vigilant. You know what vigilant means? It means alert, watchful, and especially to avoid danger. That's how we deal with the adversary. Being vigilant. I'll tell you what vigilant doesn't mean. It doesn't mean walking around angry, mad at the situation in the world, stressed out all the time. It means focused. It means trusting in God. It means diligent. Because people, when we're walking in the vigilance that God wants us to walk in, guess what? There's joy and peace in believing. Not stress and anxiety. There are four major keys to walking in this deliverance. Number one, be sober, whole thoughts. Number two, be vigilant. Number three, so important, to submit our life and our thought life to God. And number four, to resist, to stand against the devil. To be sober, to be vigilant, to submit our lives to God, and to resist, to stand against the devil. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, please, in verse 6. Well, the last part of verse 5, really, that's where we should start, because it says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's why you can't make anybody change, and you can't even change until you decide to get ready to let go of the garbage that's been holding you back. Those prideful areas in your life that you're not quite ready to let go, that's where you're resistant. And if you resist God, He resists you. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. I can't humble anybody else. I can only humble me. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why? That He may exalt you in due time. That He may exalt you in due time. Casting all. What does all mean? All, A-L-L. It means if you've got a care, all your care, then you cast it. You say, God, how do I deal with this? Father, what do you have me to do? Where's the promise? I'm casting this upon you. And that word care is that word worry or anxiety. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares. Whole different word. He lovingly supports and surrounds you. Be sober. Sober means to have whole thoughts. Thoughts according to God's word. Be sober. Be vigilant. Vigilant, alert, watchful, especially to avoid danger. Be sober, be vigilant. How come? Why? Because your adversary, who? The devil. As a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour, what's he trying to do? Freeze the prey so he can pounce on him. The number one thing Satan wants to do is stop you in your tracks. The second thing he wants you to do is get you up out there all by yourself. You know when a lion is most prone to attack? Not when animals are in a pride, when they're in a group together. Running as a group, but those little stragglers, the weak ones or the babies that slide off from the pack. Satan doesn't want you talking about your problems to another believer. He wants you to think you're the only one. So he can get you out there all alone and pounce. What does it say in verse 9? Whom resist how? Steadfast. With energy, with diligence, paying attention to. Resist him steadfast how? In the faith. Using the spiritual armament that God has given you. Using the words of God. Relying on God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. You know what? After the devil's messed around with you a while, God's going to make you whole and establish and strengthen you. How? If you stay sober, if you stay vigilant, if you submit to God, if you resist the devil, if you resist him steadfastly. Yeah, that's my part. That's my part. Look at James, please, chapter 4. Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. People, God has done so much. God has overdone. He's overabounded. He's given exceeding abundantly above. But you and I got to pick up our hands, which hang down at feeble knees, and we've got to walk in the deliverance by deliberate decision of what God has done for us. James chapter 4, verse 7. Well, verse 6, but God gives more grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud. What was Satan's reason that he fell? Pride. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and look at this promise of God, and he will flee from you. You can cast him out of your life, cast him out of your thought processes, and maybe he'll come back and tempt you from time to time, but basically, he's just gone. He flees from you. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. Let your actions in life be right actions. Work your heart to become right towards God. Mourn your sin. Repent of those things you're doing that are wrong. How do I know that? Because the next verse is, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Hey, people say to me, Peg, every time I do this, I feel bad. You know what I tell them? Stop doing it. Cleanse your hands means quit those activities that put you in a place of guilt. Quit those activities that open your mind up to demons. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart. Get right in your heart with God, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, which means be sorry for those things you did in the past that were wrong. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Those things that used to make you laugh that you thought were so fun. Oh yeah, we all got drunk and threw up all over each other. You mourn that activity now. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Satan doesn't want you doing any of those things, because Satan wants to eat you for lunch and pop the bag. But ladies and gentlemen, the power to submit to God is yours. The power to resist the devil is yours. Why? Because God gave it to you through Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be sober, whole thoughts. Remember, sin simply means to go astray. Especially in places where you can clearly read the word, where God says, don't do this, and you continue to do it. Quit it. Put it off. Change. Stop going your own way and just wise up and go God's way. Second, we need to be vigilant. This is where most people blow it. You know why? Because most people that I've ever met, including myself, are mentally lazy. More people are prone to get on the exercise machine and work out than they are to monitor their thought life. And how we exercise our mind unto godliness is way more important than any physical exercise we're ever going to do. It says in Timothy that physical bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness, exercising our mind to godly thinking, is profitable unto all things. That's why this vigilance, one of the founding fathers says, eternal vigilance is the price of freedom. They were talking about the government, to keeping the government small, to keeping the government from intruding in our life. And the same thing happens with the adversary. To keep him from intruding in our life, eternal vigilance is that price of freedom. We need to stay vigilant, watchful, alert, especially to avoid danger. Number three, to submit to God. And you know what most people do? They submit in those areas where it's easy. If you never were a thief, you say, oh, it's no problem to submit there. But boy, if you were a worrywart your whole life, you're going to start having reasonings why you need to worry about your kids, or reasonings why it's okay to worry rather than submit, because you don't want to change that one. I don't know if you've ever been to an AA meeting. I have. Addicts. Boy, they are number one in reasonings. That's why they need to go to constant meetings and get a sponsor, because it's too easy to reason yourself back into doing the wrong thing when you've been addicted to doing it for many, many years. You know where I'm supposed to submit to God? You know where you're supposed to submit to God? Every place. Love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. If God says don't do this, you know what my job is? Go to God and say, Father, how do I stop doing it? I turn this over to you. I'm ready to quit. You know, one of the most successful programs in the entire world for helping addicts, sadly, it's not the churches. It's a program called AA. It's changed millions of lives. But at the center of AA is you must be willing to turn your life and your habits over to God as you understand Him. God is at the center of the AA program. I know some people complain because it's not focused on enough or Jesus isn't preached enough, but let me tell you people, plenty of people have been led to Jesus Christ through the AA program. Lots of people have been led to the Lord through AA. But even that program is based on having God at the center of their deliverance. They know they cannot do it. They must log on to a spiritually higher power to deliver them from their addiction. And at the end of every AA program, that we say as a group, keep coming back. It works if you work it. Keep coming back. It works if you work it. Some people say work it because you're worth it. But folks, the same thing applies in dealing with the adversary. The same thing applies in dealing with demons. If we don't work the Word of God, if we don't follow the program given in the Word of God, apply the Word of God, we have to do that to receive the ongoing and resulting freedom. So it takes vigilance. It takes sound thinking. It takes submitting to God. It takes resisting the adversary. But you know what? It is so worth it. Romans chapter 16 says God wants us to wise up. In verse 19 it says, your obedience has been spoken abroad, come abroad to all men. And I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. God wants us to wise up and get away from evil, to be simple, to eschew it. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. When you're walking in that obedience, when you're wise unto that which is good, when you're believing that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, when you're believing that as He is, so are we in this world, when you're believing that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, when you're believing that God has already crushed and defeated, as we read, Jesus Christ stripped off the devil, tore his power to pieces, made a show of them openly. Jesus triumphed over them in it. And now God has given to every one of his children grace according to the full measure of that gift that Jesus Christ bestowed upon you and upon me. Folks, are we using the gift? Are we helping other people get set free from the bondage? Or are we not putting out the yellow light, waving the red flag, saying, don't go around that corner. There's a 40-foot drop-off and everyone in your car is going to die. God has already crushed Satan under your feet right now. But you have to believe it, that Satan is more scared of you than you ever should be of him. Satan is scared to death of you. You know, part of that is because, you know, people have showed such horrible pictures of demons. And, you know, oh, something spooky at night that goes thump. You know, they really are a little grotesque spirit being that holds a magnifying glass over themselves, yelling, "See how big I am?" when God has defeated them at every turn through his Son, Christ Jesus. There is nothing to be afraid of. It's like the boogeyman in the closet. You know, if a kid is afraid of a boogeyman, you kind of understand it because they're a kid, they're filled with their imagination, things that go bump in the night. But ladies and gentlemen, when you're 40 or 50 and you're afraid of the boogeyman, there's something seriously wrong. God wants you wise concerning good. He wants you simple or putting away. You know, someone in class is someone who couldn't learn. They said, oh, he's a simpleton. He can't learn. God doesn't want us learning evil ways. He wants us wise unto the things of God. God has already crushed Satan under our feet now, but those defeated demons, those lying spirits, those spirit beings who have a willpower, that are parasites, that all they can do is counterfeit the things of God, all they can do is feed off the weakness of human flesh, all they can do is be parasites to feed off our weakness, are scrambling every way they can to latch on and feed off something, you know, that keeps them out of that dry land, to feed off something that feeds them, that gives them moisture by feeding off the weakness of human flesh. All they're doing is scrambling to get a toehold so that they can find a place to roost, so that they can latch on and clip on to our thought patterns, so that they can keep us from the promises of God. And that is why when we catch ourselves in wrong thinking, we need to develop the habit to change, metanoeo, to repent, to put off that activity, to put off that thought process, and to thank God for alignment, harmony, and to get back into fellowship. How quick? Instantly. Speaking, thinking on, and trusting in God's words. That's what causes us to walk in victory. Staying focused on God and His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, that's the power of deliverance in every situation. And to know that even though Satan is walking up and down and to and fro the earth, so what? The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong over and over and over again in behalf of those of us who simply do one thing, open our hearts to the Lord. Whew. Satan can't read your thoughts, but, you know, these demons have been around 6,000 years. They know certain habit patterns that look like anxiety. They can look at your face and see when you're full of fear. They can look at that man, take that third, fourth, and fifth look toward that woman, and that glance turn into a look of lust. They can't read your thoughts, boy, but they can sure read you. And they certainly can sense. And the power of God is there to explode when we are walking in the love of God, when we're walking in the power of God. It's the sword of the Spirit, and they know they have to go. It's like I said, demons are never going to obey God willingly. But you know what they have to do? They have to obey God legally. And that's why when you stand on the word legally, they can't come in contact with you. They can't come and put one scintilla of their toe into your thought life. They have to go. They have to go. They have to go. Angels, wonderful spirit beings, powerful, beautiful, holy spirit beings that do the will of God at every occasion, that worship at the throne of God, that carry forth God's commands, that bring messages from God to man. They are real. Thank God they are encamped about those who love God. Thank God they are encamped around about us. But demons are wicked, evil, bad spirit beings who have a willpower. And they are constantly accusing us before God, ourselves, and others. They're constantly trying to deliver messages to man that are lies from Satan. And they are constantly encamping or snooping around individuals, looking for that crack in their wall where they can come in to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. They're constantly after our sense of righteousness. They're constantly trying to harass not just sons of God, but all of mankind. We need to be aware of angels as being our invisible allies to give us that added protection of God confidence, especially when it comes to our children, especially when we're just out there in the world. We need to know we have that added layer of protection, God's bodyguards around us. We need to be aware of those wonderful angels, and we need to acknowledge them when God's trying to speak to us through them. But we also need to deal with the adversary. We need to deal with demons and not stick our head in the sand and ignore them. Otherwise, why would God have put such a copious amount of information in the Word of God as to how to deal with them? I mean, we just scratched the surface. We just covered a few verses. I could have gone to whole other sections of Scripture in this teaching. You know, we could be here from now till the cows come in talking about this stuff. There's just copious amounts of information on how to deal with the adversary. People, it's put in there for our learning so that we can learn it. We can learn the good. We can learn the good and learn how to turn around and not learn the bad. And to understand that Satan is crushed under our feet right now. And like we started out with that wonderful man, Elisha, we need to live our life with our spiritual eyes wide open on both fronts, both angels and demons. We need to live with our spiritual eyes wide open, opened up. Do you think it's a coincidence or that there's a plan, a purpose, and a reason that the first prayer in Ephesians is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto you the glory, would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, that epigenosis, that deep applied knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, the spiritual eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your spiritual understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of it, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of His power to us who do one thing, believe. Stand in awe of God. Trust His word above everything else. It's a spiritual truth. It works in the supernatural realm and then is manifested in the physical realm. It works in the supernatural realm and then is manifested in the physical realm. This is how to work, how for us to operate in both realms, how we operate in the supernatural realm so that we bring information, deliverance, power, healing, wholeness into the natural realm by our operation of the God-given truths and abilities. One of the greatest secrets in the church today is that you have the power of the living Christ. One of the greatest secrets in the church today is that we still either don't believe or don't want to put the effort into walking like Jesus Christ. And to understand that our loving Heavenly Father has crushed Satan through Jesus Christ right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan and Jesus duked it out. And Jesus won! He won to the degree that had Satan known the power that God was going to give us, the church, on the day of Pentecost, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. That is the power that resides within every single child of God. Satan is scared to death that you are going to start walking in the manifested power of the living Christ. He is scared to death that you're going to make his demons inactive in your life and in the lives of others. He is scared to death that you are going to set the captives free. He is scared to death. Every time Jesus walked into a situation where there were demons, they were terrified of him. They were begging him not to send them back into the dry places. They were scared to death. They were shaking in their boots, and they're shaking in their boots of you. Because you know what? God did write in his book and tell us all about our adversary. Like it said in Job 31:25. He did write in his book and tell us about our adversary. He did teach us about the wiles of the devil and how to stand against them. God did enable us to stand and withstand in the evil day. God did place so much power within you that Satan would not have crucified the Lord of glory had he known the power that would be in you. Jesus did defeat every demon. He did destroy the destroyer and deliver the captives. Christ did all this for you and for me, and God did give you and I the measure of the gift of that liberty in Christ Jesus. God did all of this through his Son for us, and now it's you, our turn to do for ourselves, to do for our neighbor, to do for others, and to stand in daily victory. Remember, folks, it all starts with how we think. You and I have to control our thinking to line up with God's truth. And I'm telling you, it's not that hard to do. It's a habit. And you can form that habit. Any fear or habit you have, you learned. Therefore, any fear or habit you have, you can unlearn. And all you've got to do is carry yourself humbly to God to teach you how to be sober, to put on whole thoughts, stop going astray, put on whole thinking, to be vigilant, never let up, to walk circumspectly, to be alert, especially to avoid danger, to submit unto God in all your ways, not just in a few, and to resist, to stand against the devil, and lastly, to walk in thanksgiving unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. God loves you so much. He hasn't missed one iota of what it's needed to protect you, to deliver you, and to defend you. He cares for you in more ways than you can imagine. You know, even the angels, they're just one more way that God graciously and lovingly covers for us on a daily basis because he is all good all the time. Put this in your thinking, please. You know, the number one reason I think we fear is because we fear that we're alone. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to never, ever walk in fear because we never, ever walk alone. We never, ever walk alone. We never walk alone. Never. Wherever you go, you have the power of God surrounding you. Remember Isaiah 50? You have God's complete support. You have the power of Jesus Christ with you and in you, and you have an innumerable company of angels that have camped around you. What a liberating, what a freeing, what an awesome truth, what a loving God we have, what victory we have constantly in Jesus, what triumph we have in the Lord. And that's why it said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but in verse 8, which none of the princes, 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, unto whose glory? This is so hard to wrap your own mind around because we all have such a sense of low self-esteem and guilt. It's hard for us to wrap our mind around the reality that we are royal heirs, that God wants to honor us, that God wants to exalt us, that God wants to set us on high, that God wants us to walk in glory because we reflect Him to the world. We reflect His government, His kingdom, His lifestyle to the world. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, had they known the power to live in glory that was going to come on the day of Pentecost, had they known the power of Jesus Christ that was going to come on the day of Pentecost, they would not have crucified the Lord of what? Glory. Glory means manifested power, but it also means splendor, copious, covered. Splendor, copious, covered. Whenever you walked in the glory of the King, you walked in the King's splendor. You walked in His abundance, and you walked in His covering, His protection. Jesus was the Lord of that. And He accomplished that work so that God could deal to you and I the measure, the fullness of the gift of Christ. So that as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has, past tense, made ready, prepared for them that love Him. They're just sitting there in God's throne room, ready for us to reach over into the spirit realm and manifest them into the natural. Wisdom, health, righteousness, abundance, healing for others. All these things that God has set there, set up on a shelf, waiting for you and I to reach over and take it. He's prepared them already for them that love Him, and God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Man, oh man, the natural man, he's never going to understand this. He's never going to get it. But it says we will, because verse 16, but who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct Him? But we have the mind, the thought life of Christ, the wisdom of Christ in any area we need it, when we will reach out and take it. Reach out and take it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is amazing. Angels and demons. Angels are here for God's pleasure to protect us. Demons are here because they disobeyed, they rebelled against God, but God has defeated them on every hand. Christ has triumphed over them. They don't need to have a toehold, a foothold, a scintilla in your life. And all this has been given to us by the glory of the life of Jesus Christ, by what came on the day of Pentecost. And now all we do is put it on in our mind. Watch and walk. Submit to God, resist the devil, and we will walk in the joy and peace of believing. We will walk in victory every day, and we will have something to give to him that needeth, to reach out, to pull up a fellow man, and show them how to walk the lifestyle of believing, the lifestyle of victory, the lifestyle of joy and peace, the lifestyle of waking up in the day and not being afraid, not biting your fingernails down to the last knuckle, but knowing the Lord God Almighty is with you. His Spirit is in you, protecting you, guiding you, strengthening you every day. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the copious, copious information that's in your word. Not only that we can be comforted and aware of the joy and privilege it is to have these wonderful, powerful beings of angels surrounding us and protecting us each and every step through life, but also that you have given us a book, an instruction manual, that we might know our adversary and understand through Christ Jesus that we have defeated him through Christ at every turn, at every place where he would try to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. Thank you, God, for showing us how to live the more abundant life. Thank you for giving us life eternally. Oh, Father, I'm thankful for so many things. I'm thankful for air to breathe. I'm thankful for water to drink. I'm thankful for friends that encourage me and that I can encourage. I'm thankful for my wonderful husband. I'm thankful for so many things in life, God. But I'm also thankful for these big, dynamic spiritual truths that teach me and teach us how to walk in victory so that we have to give to him that need us, so that we can teach our fellow man who is also being oppressed by the devil how to have a life of victory and deliverance and to walk in the freedom of Christ Jesus, that freedom that sets us free. God, you are all love. You are all good. I'm so tired of you getting a bad rap. We need to shout from the rooftops where these evil things come from, and they're not from you, our Heavenly Father. All you ever do is show us how to walk in freedom, how to walk in liberty. You are good all the time. And Father, may we carry that message and be living epistles known and read of all men, showing your glory to the world, your love to the world, your forgiveness to the world, your mercy to the world, through the wonderful, loving name of Jesus Christ. I thank you and I praise you. Amen.